Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Life with Rich and Christ. This radio show is about people that deal with real issues of life and are looking for real content and want to have a relationship with a real God instead of the illusionary God that most of Christianity believes is God, the God who is the punishing God and the disappointed God, and the God who loves us but just may not like us that much. Well, I'm here to share the truth, and the truth is that the one true God loves us without any condition. There's nothing that we could do or could not do to cause him to love us in any other way but that way. And that his plan for our life goes so far beyond anything we could ask, think, or imagine. But that plan happens only as we embrace our only asset, which is our weakness, which goes completely against not only all cultural norms, but all Christian norms. I responded to a thread of a friend of mine who is involved in a recovery ministry in California, which is, by the way, that's where I'm broadcasting from this week. I'm in sunny Central California. I'm out here on my daughter's, her apartment on her deck. And so if you hear the birds chirping in the background, this is real. And we're here for her wedding. She's planning her wedding. She's getting married in the 1st of October, and so my wife wanted to be here to help with all those arrangements. So anyway, this friend of mine was posting about how he's no longer looking at the sin issue when it comes to his relationship with Christ, and he got lambasted by some person that he respected but found out that maybe wasn't as spiritual as he thought he was. And so I'm here to expose the lie of what Paul calls the different gospel. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. He says it's a gospel that comes complete with another Jesus and another spirit. And then he goes on to say at the end of that, in the NIV interpretation, that you put up with it easily enough. Well, it's easy to put up with a gospel message that doesn't cost anything. And that's really what the different gospel is. It's knowing that you're saved by grace and you've got your free ticket punched to heaven. And now you can sit around and wait for the rapture or the second coming, or you can go to the next conference or look for the next book or the next Christian gimmick or fad that comes down the road. And there's no responsibility from here on out. You've got your fire insurance. And that's really what the gospel message is today in most churches. That and financial planning and behavior modification and how to raise your kids and everything basically but the message of the cross, which Paul said was foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us the power of God. And so the different gospel is not Mormonism. It's not Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not the way. It's not some cult. The different gospel is a gospel. It looks like a gospel. It looks like good news, but it's anything but good news. And then Paul goes over in Galatians 1, and he says it's a perversion, or Galatians 1, 6, and 7, he says it's really a perversion of the gospel. It's a counterfeit. And he said it's no gospel at all. It's not any good news at all. And yet that's what most people believe their Christianity is. But if you're still believing in a Christian message that says you have to do something for God in order to get something from him, then I would run from it as fast as I could run from anything. Because it's not the truth. The Bible says the truth will make us free. And the one who is free indeed. And Galatians 5:1 says it's for freedom that he made us free. He didn't make us free for usefulness. He didn't make us free for our ability. He didn't make us free so he could bless our plans. He made us free so he could live his own life through us unhindered, and he could fulfill his plan, his purpose, through the vessel, container, branch that he's chosen, which is you and I. And Paul said it was in weakness, with fear and trembling, that he came before the people. And that's how I come before you folks every week on this program. That's how I'll go before people when I go live before them. And that's how I write. I've been writing now on Facebook for over 3 years. I've written somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 articles, if not more, thousands of statuses that you could call articles, because my statuses aren't short. And it's all in reference to this one thing. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I'm going to talk about the real issues of life, like the fact that you get sick and it's not God punishing you, or the fact that you've lost your job and it's not God punishing you, and the fact that you're going through trials and you're going to hell and back right now, and God is taking you out past the waist deep and the neck deep water, and you're wondering if you're ever going to be able to touch bottom. Well, I'm here to tell you that God doesn't want you to touch bottom, because God isn't only the one keeping you floating. God is the water. God is the storm. God is every part of it. God is all of it. And he is the one who is able to keep us and what we've entrusted to him against that day. And what have we entrusted to him? Well, hopefully we've entrusted our life. Because if you've entrusted anything short of that, you're missing out on everything that God wants to give you. So last week I started speaking about a message that is near and dear to my heart. The fact that I believe God is saying to many in the body of Christ today that it's time to release the limitations that we've placed on him. And how do you release the limitations? Well, you simply lay down your life. You understand that your life is not your own, that your life was paid for in full with the blood of Jesus, ransomed. You were bought back from the kidnapper. And now he is able to do whatever he chooses to do in and through you and I. And when we understand that, when we come to that understanding that God is for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer to that is, because it is a question, the answer to that is only God can be against us. Because God is for us. And God trumps everything else that's against us. So the only answer to that is God being against us. And guess what? He's not against us. He loves us. And he wants to take us past performance-based, dead-letter religion, quote-unquote Christianity, and take us into his life, the very life of Christ. And so in order for him to do that, we have to come to a place where we release our life to him and allow him to do it. And several years ago, after my divorce and after going through a 7-year to hell and back trial and meeting my wife today, Linda, right after we were married, I woke up in my bed one day and my kids were in Florida and I was in California. And I woke up in bed in a panic, and I just cried out, my kids, because my ex-wife had remarried, and she was married to a drug addict, alcoholic, womanizing pig, and my kids were living under that roof. And God reminded me of three words that he'd been sharing with me throughout the last 20 years. Release, rest, and receive. And he said to me right then and there, release your children to me. Because they're not your children, they're my children. In fact, when I woke up and I said, my kids, he said, whose kids? And so he said, release them to me right now. And so I did. I just released them. I didn't do anything religious. I just let them go. I opened up my hands and I let them go. And if you put your hands out in front of you, put your fists out in front of you, palms up, and then ask yourself, what is it you can receive from God as you're walking through life with your fists clenched, holding on to your life and holding on to what you believe you should be able to keep? Okay? And then not only that, what is it you can give up with your fists clenched? And so that's what God said to me. Let go of your children, Rich. Release them to me. And I did. And then he said, now take that appointed place of rest that I've been showing you all these years. The rest that is for the people of God, and you are one of those people. So rest in me. Rest in my unconditional, no strings attached love, knowing that I will never abandon you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Just rest there. And then the last thing he said, and now, in doing those two things, in just releasing your life and resting, and now you're in a position to receive. Romans 12:1 says that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, not by the law, not by the punishment of God, not by the angry God that we've learned to believe is not really God at all. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You know, what that is God is saying, you know, you may have your definition of worship. You may think worship is raising your hands in the air or singing some song or praying in tongues or whatever else you might think worship is. But he says, my definition of worship is when you simply present yourself to me. And so when I was releasing my children, and when I was taking that appointed place of rest, and when I was putting myself in the position to receive from God, I was worshiping God. That was worship to him. And you think God is not going to come through on that? Today, 12 years later, through all of the pain and sorrow and heartache and brokenness that divorce brings into a family situation, all of my children love me. All of my children know who I am. All of my children who were once estranged from me are now honor me as their father, as their dad. And that all came from just releasing my life to God, releasing my children to God. Are they all living the way I'd like them to live? No, they're not. They're in their 20s, and they're doing what kids in their 20s do. But you know what? I know that God is taking them to that place where he wants them to be. And it's not, I haven't got my hands on it anymore. And I'm loving them exactly where they are. And I'm letting them know every day that God loves them exactly where they are too. Because it's God's business and God's business alone to do what he wants to do in my kids' lives. That's how free I am from whatever God is doing in their life right now. And that's really what releasing coming to that place of releasing the limitations off of God are all about. It's just knowing that God is in control of all things all the time, and that there is never one time that God is ever going to do something that doesn't line up with his perfect plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, why would he put that qualifier in there? Not to harm you. Well, the only thing I can see is because sometimes, actually most times, the plan of God, which is so far beyond anything we can think, so far beyond anything we can hold onto with our own finite minds, the plan of God looks like anything but the plan of God. I had a brother call me last night, and he was upset with me because I was telling him what I thought he should do with this new vision that God was giving him. And I don't know if it was because we weren't on the same page, but I said, this is what God has shown me to do. Release it to him. Let it die. Let him raise it up in due time. And if he raises it up, it's his ministry. He'll take care of it. He'll provide for it. He'll be the provision of it. We won't have to go out and do any marketing or fundraising. We won't adopt the world system. We just trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, and what's part of all is something else. In all of our ways, we acknowledge him. And we know that he directs our path. We don't look to the right or the left. Isaiah says, don't look to the right or the left. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, what's the way? The way is the lamp to your feet right now, the light to your path. That's enough. What you see from that lamp and that light is enough for you to take the next step. That's what God is saying to the body of Christ today. Take the next step. Just do the next thing. A little over a year ago, my ministry partner came to us. I was in the oil field driving a truck and miserable because I knew that wasn't what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. It was what I was doing, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And she came to Linda and said, you know, you need to go in there and tell him to quit that job. If not now, when? And if not you, who? My wife, weeping, walked in the door and said to me, you need to quit your job. And we did. And we haven't looked back. That was May 29th of 2012. And we have watched God faithful day after day after day, more than faithful, as we stepped out into the deepest water we've ever been in. And we refused to swim back to the shore. We're going deeper. And we're going deeper, and we're going to go so far down that rabbit hole where nobody has been before. My ministry partner, Joan, said to me, you remind me of Captain Kirk in Star Trek, going to places where no one has ever been before, and that's our ministry. And we want to take as many people with us as we possibly can. And it's just knowing God. It's knowing this wonderful God who loves us, knowing this God who would never, ever do anything to harm us. It may look harmful, but he says, my plan is to prosper you. My plan is to give you a hope and a future. And so, all we do is release our life to him. That's releasing the limitations. It's not going through some religious ritual. It's not Bibling. It's not going to church, although if you want to go to church, you can. I don't see any reason to anymore because I am the church. And the church is in me, and I am in the church because Christ is in me. And it's just about living life every day and believing God that the next thing is the good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Not from the cruel taskmaster, not from the child abuser, but from the Father. And once God takes us beyond that perception of who he is and shows us the reality that he really is a loving Father and that he is going to give us an egg when we ask for an egg and not a scorpion. That's really where most people are. in their walk with God. That's really the reason most people are not able to step up, because they really don't believe that that God exists, that God who loves them. Well, let me tell you something, guys. I've lost homes. I've lost jobs. I've lost my relationship with my children for year after year after year. I've lost my reputation. I've lost my identity. I've lost stuff. And a couple of years ago, I came close to losing my life. And so I can say with boldness and proclaim this losing to gain message that really you lose nothing and you gain everything. When you lay down your life and you let go of your kids and you let go of your husband and you let go of your income and you let go of that and you see God as the only provision of your life, the all in all, who fills everything in every way. That's really who God is to us. And that's what this program is about and nothing else. And it's not planned. It's not organized. I don't sit up at night and write canned sermon notes. This is the spontaneous Christ in me speaking to the spontaneous Christ in you. The living Christ. The one who is living and moving and having his being, not his doing, his being in us. Because he just simply wants to be. Look at my timeline right now. I just wrote an article. Just being, that's all God is saying to us. Just be. You be, and I will do. So, guys, I got about 9 minutes left. I haven't got a call-in show yet. I was thinking about doing that at some point down the road, but right now I'm just getting my feet wet. This is my fourth broadcast. And so before I end this, I just want to spend some time in prayer. So, Father, I just thank you and praise you, God, for this wonderful opportunity to speak to these wonderful people, God, about your love for them. And how your love for them, God, goes beyond anything we can even imagine. Because your love is love. And there is no other love that can come close to it, God. I'm asking today, Lord, for that person or persons, Lord. I know there aren't many people listening to this radio show. I know this is for the few. This is for the chosen. And these are the ones that answer the complete call are the chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. And it's only the ones that answer the complete call, the message of the cross, the losing to gain life, the knowing God is in control, trusting him with everything in us. And God, that's who I'm speaking to today. I'm speaking to the Genies, and I'm speaking to the Jones, and I'm speaking to those people, God, the Nicoles, and I'm speaking to those people, Lord, that are longing for you, God, more than anything. And I'm asking, God, that you reveal yourself to them, Lord, in a way that you never have before. I'm asking, God, that you cut through all the religious crap. And, Lord, you show them the truth, that you love them, God, with no strings attached. I ask, God, that you remove the burden from them today, Lord, that you remind them that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And that you're the only one that has the shoulders that are designed to carry the cares of the world. And so we're able to cast all of our cares on you, God, because we now know without a shadow of a doubt that you do care for us. That you not only love us, but you like us. And you want to hang around us. And you love when we spend time with you. And so, God, I'm asking today, Father, that there'd be a sweeping wave of the revelation of the real love and the real grace and the real power of God that would go across these airwaves, Lord, to every whosoever that you would have to hear this, God. And I'm thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of being among the broken and the base and the lowly things of the world. Of glorying in my weakness, because I know my weakness is the only asset that I've ever had in my life. And when I glory in my weakness, your power shows up, just like that negative, positive charge. Just like that car battery that has that negative and that positive. When that relationship is right, power is released. And that power is the knowing that God is always going to be there. And God is going to complete that good work that he's begun. So, Father, I'm praying today, and I'm believing you, God. I'm believing you, God, for great things, that you're expanding this vision, Lord, and that other people are receiving this same vision, and other people are being set free from the dead letter, the letter that kills, and their eyes are open to the Spirit who gives life. God, I praise you and thank you. Well, guys, this is real life with Rich in Christ, and this is as real as it gets. This is no BS. This is just everyday rubber meets the road. Daily, real Christian living without all the religious trappings. And I've got a website. It's www.richinchristnow.com. I wrote a book earlier this year. It's called Rich in Christ. It's not about me. It's about you. It's just a play on words the Lord gave me. That even if you don't know it, you are rich in Christ. It's a 31-day devotional. And I guarantee you read that book, your life will never be the same. Not because of me. I'm just the writing instrument. God wrote this book. It's my story and it's your story. And it's his story. And so, join me again next week at 9:30, Wednesday, Central Time, Central Standard Time. I was going to read from my book today, but I guess God had another plan. That's what's so wonderful about walking in the spontaneous life of Christ. We just live, and he does everything. For it is God who is at work within us, willing, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's his good pleasure to minister life to people who are hungry and to feed those people who are hungry and to provide for every need that they have. All right, guys, I'm signing off. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. God bless.